Okay, well, let's ask the Lord to help us. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we do need your help, Lord. We need your help. Each one of us here, Lord, needs your help. Lord, I need your help to hear what you're saying, because that's all I want to say is what you're saying, Lord. And help me, Lord. Help me to hear. Help me to hear what you're saying, Lord. And help each one of us, Lord, to have ears to hear as well, Lord. Because we all contribute as you lead by your Spirit. We all contribute, be it questions, be it comments. We want to come from you, Lord. And Lord, you are Lord. You are our Savior. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And of course, we're getting into the season where some of us celebrate your birthday. Lord, we want to celebrate it every day, Lord. We want to celebrate it not just at a time where people are buying stuff and giving gifts and things like that, and that's all well and good, Lord. But we want to celebrate you every day of our lives, Lord. We want to worship you every day. We need to worship you every day. And not just in song and not just in focused praise to you, Lord, but just with our lives, our thoughts, everything, Lord. Everything we need to worship you with, Lord. And help us. Help us to do that. Help us to do that even tonight, Lord. As we hear your words, Lord. Give us understanding. Give us the motivation, Lord, to do what it is you lay on each heart, Lord. Give us a portion of yourself, Lord, as needed for each one of us here, Lord. You know the need. You know what it is, Lord. And so we're looking to you, Lord, to feed us. To feed us. To feed us of yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for what you are going to be doing for us, Lord, that you've already laid out for us, your plan that you laid out for us, Lord, your plan not only of redemption, Lord, but each little day as we're moving toward salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Susan. Appreciate that. All right. All right. Ron, if you could take us to Revelation 3, starting in verse 18. Revelation 3, verse 18. And Jesus is saying to the last church, Church of Laodicea, the church that looks so much like we do right now. He's just admonished them about thinking that they're wealthy, thinking that they're rich, but telling them that they're lukewarm. Or should I say telling us that we're lukewarm, and that he's about to spit us or vomit us out of his mouth, and that we think we're rich. We think we've acquired wealth and don't need a thing. But we don't realize that we're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. But Jesus doesn't leave it there. He just doesn't slap them across the face and walk away. He offers something to them. He offers counsel. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Jesus is saying, buy gold. And I've read this many, many times, and it's like, okay, Lord, how do I buy gold? How do I buy gold from you? And I just never, it never clicked until just recently. And, you know, it's interesting in this time, especially in the church. I don't know if you listen to Christian radio stations, and maybe not so much K-Love because they're listener supported, but others like K-Praise and others that have actual commercials and things like that, that you're getting a lot of, and even conservative like talk show hosts and so forth, they're talking about buying gold. Because of the economy, because, you know, the economy is so bad, and because inflation is coming, because the government's printing all this money, and as the government prints money, you know, economics 101 tells you that the more money you throw at something, guess what happens to the price of it? It goes up. Because there's more money to buy things with. So people say, oh, well, I've got a little more, so I can pay a little more to get it, you know, so I can get it. And so the economy's going down the tubes. The government's putting money out of thin air and causing inflation to rise. And so you're getting these commercials, and like I said, on some of these Christian stations and on the conservative stations, saying buy gold to protect your assets, protect your money, because the dollar also is being deliberately brought down. Devalued, thank you, Tony. Yeah, devalued. That's the word I was looking for. Is being deliberately devalued, and if what I read here recently, it says that the dollar now is worth 98 cents. What? How much? 98 cents. No. No. Try just the opposite of that. It's worth about 1 or 2% of its value when it first, you know, came on the scene decades ago. Yeah, in terms of its actual worth, what it would buy, say, 50 years ago or 60 years ago, what the dollar would buy now is only 1% worth at this point. And they keep devaluating. So anyway, you're getting all, buy gold, get your gold coins. Susan, you got to get your gold coins. You got to get them. I mean, you know, if you don't have a safe, you know, get your safe so you can keep them safe, and you know, put it in the back closet there so nobody will find it, and make sure you have all your coins. And you know, I'm kind of, you know, joking with you a little bit, but it wasn't too long ago where I wasn't joking, and I had my goal, and I was ready to survive the economic crisis that was on the horizon, and. I was thinking I would have my gold, and I had my gold coins, and I had them in the closet. I didn't have a safe, so I just put them in the closet in a corner, and hopefully nobody would find it or something. And I was thinking, you know, when this economic crisis came and all, you know, everything went to pot, and nobody, and the dollar, you know, we went from, you know, using cash to cashless society. And we didn't have any, we couldn't use money anymore, especially as Christians, because, you know, the Bible says, you know, you won't be able to buy or sell or anything like that, because, you know, the reason why is because we'll have that chip in our hand, and that's the only way you're going to buy stuff. And, you know, we're not going to get the chip, so we've got to have something to buy with, so we're going to have gold. So you got to buy the gold, you know. So I had my gold, and, huh? What if you don't have gold? Then you're hurting, Benny. You're hurting. My lead. No, Tony, don't buy lead. Yeah, I think I'd rather have gold. But anyway, so there was a time I had this, and as the Lord began dealing with my heart, he began to show me, it's like, Lord, what are you going to do with that gold? Because if people can't buy anything because the system has collapsed, what you going to do with your gold? You won't be able to buy anything with the gold. Right, yeah. It's so heavy or whatever, yeah. So as the Lord began to wake me up about gold, buying gold coins, and here, you know, I'm not saying anything about, you know, gold as an investment or anything like that, but gold was not an investment for me. It was my life. That's why I bought it. I bought it for security. I bought it to save my life when the tribulation started. That was why I bought it years ago. And the Lord made it very clear that it wasn't going to save me.
Because dogs would save my life better than.
Your two dogs would save your life better than a pot of gold, yeah. But it is still, nowadays, it is still the thing that is being pushed, and because of the economics of the time, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, to protect yourself, to save your assets, to be secure. So when inflation, you know, hits like it did in Germany, where, you know, it was a million marks just to buy bread, you know, just to buy a loaf of bread or something like that. Or the story, I don't know how true it is, but I'm sure you heard the story about, you know, the hyperinflation during Germany, in Germany prior to World War II, that a guy has a wheelbarrow full of money, full of Deutschmarks, and he goes up and puts it right in front of the store to walk in to see if, you know, to check the prices to see if he could buy it, you know, because the prices kept going up like every second, you know. And he comes back out, the money's still there, but the wheelbarrow's been stolen. The money was worthless. It was worthless. So God was showing me that, hey, you know, buying gold is not going to save you. What if you're somewhere where you can't get to your gold?
Can't eat it.
You can't eat it. And if you're around with somebody, you'll be afraid to show it because, you know, you think, oh, if they think I got gold, they're going to come take it from me. Plus, you know, like I said, who's going to be able to use gold if the system collapsed that bad? You just won't even be able to use it anyway. So this buying gold. So when I see Jesus, I, you know, read Jesus saying, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. I'm like, God, what are you saying? Buy gold so that I'm rich. Now, obviously, he's not talking about being rich materially in a sense of having a lot of money in the bank or something like that, or a lot of gold. Uh-oh, Tony knows. All right.
I've never seen this before. I'll wait for you to preach.
Thank you, Tony. All right. So I'm like, Lord, what is this buying gold from you? How do I buy this gold? I want the gold. Because obviously, if you're offering it, it's something more than just, you know, the material gold coins and stuff that's being pushed at us. So I'm like, Lord, what is this? And I mean, obviously, it has something to do with Jesus, because you got to buy it from him. He wants you to buy it from him. And it's gold, okay? And gold in the scriptures represents what? What does it usually represent in the scriptures? Say it again. Okay, purity. What else? Deity, divine. Divine. The divine nature of God, if you will. That kind of gold. So Jesus is saying, okay, I want you to buy gold for me. In other words, I want you to buy my nature. I want you to buy my nature so you can have it. Now, he says buy. He doesn't say, I'm going to give it to you. He says, buy it from me. Buy it from me. I counsel you. In other words, I'm giving you some advice to buy it from me. He's not saying, come ask for it. I'll just give it to you. You know, come ask for me. You know, ask me for some gold, Susan. I'll give it to you. Here you go. Boom. You know, he's saying, buy it. Buy it. So, Lord, okay, I need to buy it from you. You're not just throwing it out there for whoever can grab it. Buy it from you. So it's gold refined in the fire, God's nature, the divine deity, if you will, but refined in the fire, gold refined in the fire. And as we've been talking over these last weeks, that God has been showing us about repentance and being a sacrifice, offering up a sacrifice unto God, because it's a sweet smelling aroma to him, and how he likes that smell and likes that idea that we're offering ourselves a sacrifice, as Paul says, a living sacrifice. When we do that, when we offer ourselves a sacrifice, what happens? What happens when the sacrifice was offered? What happened to the sacrifice? It was burned. It got burned up, right? It was what? Somebody?
Fire came down and consumed it.
Yeah, fire came down and consumed it. The fire. So fire came, and that song, Let Your Glory Fall by Matt Redman. That the third verse there says, a sacrifice was made and then your fire came. And Paul tells us to make that sacrifice, to offer ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. Why? So that we can we'll no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed into His image. And he kind of leaves out that little part about, you know, when you offer a sacrifice, there's something that comes with it after you offer it. That's the fire. He kind of gives us, offer yourself a sacrifice, and then here's the benefit. He kind of leaves out that fire part. I mean, it's what happens. It's one and two. You know, one plus two equals three. You offer the sacrifice, the fire's coming. So Jesus is saying, buy gold from me, buy my divine nature, he's saying, buy of me. Buy of me gold, buy of my nature that's been refined in the fire. Now with a gold coin, somebody takes the gold ore and refines it and puts it through the fire, puts it through all the processes that it needs to get it pure, so it's pure gold and so forth. But with God's, or Jesus offering his gold refined in the fire, guess who gets the fire in the refining, in the purification? Yeah, you and me. You and me in buying that gold. So God is not only saying, buy it from me. But it's going to, yeah, well, okay, thank you, Lord. Yeah, you're buying it from me, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. But he's saying, if you don't want to be wretched, you don't want to be pitiful, poor, blind, naked, like the church of Laodicea, then you got to buy this gold from him that's been refined in the fire. So again, I said, Lord, how is that? And I say that question in the sense that I've been saying it for a while. Every time I would read that verse, and it's like, how do I buy this gold, Lord? I want to buy it. And the Lord wants you to buy it because he knows you need it. You got to have it. You know, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark is made of what? You remember? The Ark, the box. Wood. Acacia wood, and what else? Covered in gold. Covered in gold. Hammered gold all around it. That's the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. The lid is, or the mercy seat, the lid is actually pure gold. Excuse me. So, and wood represents humanity. Right. So gold represents deity or the divine nature. The wood represents humanity. And obviously God is making us into that Ark of the Covenant, the humanity with the divine nature as well. Thank you, Lord. As I said, I asked this question of the Lord every time I've read this thing over the years. And I believe the Lord has given me something that hits a little more home than just the idea that he's asking us to buy of his nature. I mean, something that's practical, something that we can look at each day and say, I'm buying a little more gold from you, Lord. I'm buying a little more gold from you. I'm buying a little more gold from you. And we talked about repentance. We talked about God loving us, repenting, wanting us to repent, that he actually rejoices when we repent, that it is a sweet-smelling aroma to him when we repent, that it is something he's encouraging us to do each and every day, each and every moment, every time he brings something to our attention that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be confessed and repented of. He's like, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. It's something he wants us to do every day, and he's not looking at it like we do, in a sense of that there's some, you know, kind of, oh gosh, here I come again, you know, repenting to the Lord, and he's looking at you like, yeah, here you are again, why are you here again, you know, okay, go ahead and repent so we can get this thing over with. You know, that's how we think God is looking at us, but God is not. He's saying, repent, yes, repent, come on, repent. Let's deal with this. Let's deal with getting you to buy this goal. In other words, as we repent, when we repent of something that God has shown us, we confess it, the sin, and we repent of it. What happens to that sin? What happens to that? It gets what? Crucified, right? It gets killed, if you will. It gets dead. And then what happens in place of that in us? What does God do? What does he place in us? A little more of him, exactly. A little more of him. A little more of the divine nature. A little more of the gold. Yeah. A little more of the gold. So the Lord began to show me that buying gold, every time I repent, he shows me something. I say, Lord, I confess that to you. Don't want to do that. By your grace, I'll never do that again. I repent of that. I turn away from that. The sin gets crucified, or the Adamic nature, a portion of the Adamic nature gets crucified, and then more of the divine gold, the divine nature is formed in you. So you just bought a little bit of gold. Every time we repent, we buy a little bit of gold. Every time we repent, we buy a little bit of gold. Because what's he saying to the Laodicea? I mean, he's telling them all these things that are messed up with them. He's wanting them to, as he's told most of the other churches already, what? Repent. Repent. So he's telling them, hey, you buy gold by repenting. Now, you're right. Exactly. 19 says, repent. In 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Repent. And I believe God is saying this is definitely one significant primary way to buy gold for me is to repent. But he showed me something else too. We're talking about, things that we do, God shows that we've done and so forth. And he brought to mind, talking about how things are going on in the church, how things are going on in the body, and how we're, God is beginning to stir things up in the body, stir things up with people, stir things up in our own lives, but in particular with other people in the church, in this church. And was talking to Dave McIntosh about it one morning, and just how things are happening in the body per se and so forth, and what came up was, why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God stirring these things up? Why is God, especially with people in the church, people we love, people we things, from my perspective, things are that shouldn't be happening. Don't let any division or anything happen. I don't like it. I don't want to be near it. I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to have to mess with it. But God is doing it, and God's been showing me through this that it's not about what that person has done or what that person's going through or what that. That's not about it. He was showing me it's about, are you judging them? Are you looking down your nose at them? Are you saying, well, because I'm not in that situation, or I didn't do that, or I didn't cause that, sorry, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm doing good, and those poor little pitiful people over there, they don't know what they're doing. Hey, look at, that's my Adamic nature coming out, and it comes out. I'll just confess it to you now. And God has shown that to me. He says, that does not help the body. Even if you never say a word about it, in terms of being part of the body, in terms of the fact that you're judging, it affects the body. It affects you. It affects me. It affects how we deal with people. It affects how we look at people. And so the Lord was kind of showing that here's an opportunity. Instead of judging, look at it as an opportunity. You see your brother do something or in a situation that is causing trouble. Instead of looking at them like, oh, poor thing, oh, they're just not spiritual enough, you know, whatever it is that you do to judge, to look at it and say, Lord, that's probably in my heart too. And I'm confessing that to you, and I'm repenting of that right now. What did I just do? I just bought some more gold, didn't I? I just bought some more gold. Because if we're honest, if we believe the Bible, it says the heart is good and pure and wonderful and just all goody two shoes, right? No, it doesn't say that about the heart. What does it say, Sir Benny? It's wicked. It is not only wicked, I mean, we can't even know the depths of its depravity. It's so wicked. Okay. And it's so easy for us, for me, to get into this ivory tower mentality because I'm looking at my brother or my sister and what they're going through and thinking, I'll never do that. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that? I'll never do what they did. Yeah, I could never do that. I got a feeling that statement doesn't come from humility. Our heart is wicked. It's depraved. I'll give you a little story. I probably shared it already, but Dr. Diane McIntosh, yeah, God has used her mightily with Mount Zion and showing us some practical truths about how to walk out our faith in the Lord. And she shared a time where this woman came to her for counseling. And the woman revealed to her that that she was bounded or struggled with homosexuality or lesbianism. And Diane's reaction was, I don't want nothing to do with you. I would never do something like that. That's nasty. I don't want anything to do with you as far as trying to counsel a woman. I mean, that's how opposed and adamant she was that, don't want anything to do with it. She went to the Lord. Of course, she kind of lost her peace over it. She went to the Lord and was talking to the Lord about it and saying, Lord, I can't do it. I can't minister to this woman. I can't counsel this woman. I don't even understand that. I don't even understand that. I would never, you know, she used that word, I would never. The Lord said, oh, is that so? So you don't think you could ever do that? No. Do you want me to show you that you can? And she was like, And she kind of thought about it a second or two and said, no, Lord, don't show me. Because she realized God, what God was showing her is that her heart is just as wicked. And if put in the right circumstances and in the right situations or whatever, she could be right there where that woman is. And so she repented and went on to minister to the woman. But it was a lesson that showed that we can't judge somebody and say, oh, I would never do that. And I've done it many times. Like I, you know, see somebody who, a drunkard or whatever, you know, or somebody that does something really nasty that you read about or hear about. And I would never do that. And God says, no. It's in your heart too. It's in your heart too. And what God was showing is saying, here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity. We're going to go through the fire. There's no question about it. We're going to go through the fire. Matter of fact, everybody goes through the fire. Even transgressors. You know, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor. Everybody goes through the fire. Okay? What God was showing me was to say, here's an opportunity to repent of, to deal with something that's in your heart that you didn't have to go through. So in this case, say, of Diane's situation, she repents of lesbianism, homosexuality. She repents of that in her heart and says, Lord, I repent of that. I take that out of me. I don't want that in me. And how do I put it? It's like taking the easy, I don't want to say easy because it connotates, you know, the broad way and the that God talks about. But it's like God saving you from having to go through all the stuff that if you actually got into homosexuality or you got into lying and or whatever it is that you're not doing, okay? But you see somebody else do, it's like God saying, here's an opportunity to not have to go through it with the hard knocks. Let's put it that way, with the hard knocks. Okay. In other words, God doesn't have to let you become a homosexual to have that opportunity to repent of it, to get it out of your heart, to get it out of you. God doesn't have to let you go through whatever it is that I never would do, just put in the blank what it is that you would never do, seeing somebody else do it, and God saying, here's an opportunity to buy gold for me. Here's an opportunity to buy gold. It's not to say that we're not going to go through some tough times that God's going to bring us through. Not to say that, but hey, if he's offering you an opportunity to say, hey, here's something that you can buy gold for me from. Here's an opportunity. You know, you just saw your brother or sister, he brought it home to me in terms of my, you know, as Pastor likes to say, I like to read the right-wing newspapers on the internet. I have to say that even now, they still, things rise up in me to say, oh, that's perverse. Oh, he's lying through his teeth. Oh, look what he's doing to the, you know. And God said, here's an opportunity. Are you going to curse? Are you going to judge them? Or are you going to take the opportunity to say, Lord, yeah, that lies in my heart too. I would lie like a dog if I was in his situation. I would, you know, do such and such if I was in his situation. I would, opportunity to repent, to confess it, but yet I didn't have to go through it. Okay? I didn't have to go through it. In other words, God is saying, hey, if you keep going as you are, there's going to come an opportunity for you for this to actually be manifest in your life. And it's going to cause a whole lot of problems, not just for you, but for whoever else is involved. But here's an opportunity here before you get there to deal with it. Right now. Confess it. Repent of it. Buy the gold from me now. Buy the gold from me now. And I thought, Lord, that is wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. You mean I don't have to wait for you to say, okay, you know, we got to deal with this. So the only way I'm going to deal with it is to put you in this situation because you're not, you know. Or to say, the Lord brings it to my mind. I looked at that brother over there. I looked at that person and said, oh, yeah, they're a whatever. And I'm judging them. God says, no, here's the opportunity. That's in your heart, too. Lord, I confess it to you. I know it's in my heart. I repent of it. Take it out of me, Lord. I know I'm capable of it. Take it out of me. And let God deal with that right then and there. Right then and there. And it's like God saying, okay, we've dealt with it. I don't have to bring circumstances into your life to get it exposed so it can be dealt with. Do you ever wonder why things get exposed and brought out? If I can use Diane again as an example. It had to do with a church that they were going to and Daniel wanted to join the youth group it was youth group and she prayed about it and God said no. Don't let him join. And So God, you know, she was kind of cute. You know, why? Well, she didn't get her answer until sometime later when the youth leader was basically caught in a having a relationship with one of the youth, a homosexual relationship. And so God said to her, because she asked God about this, what's up with this? And God said, well, one, I was, you know, protecting Daniel. Not to say that Daniel was, had that tendency or anything like that, but why did you allow, say, the other kid to get involved with that? Why didn't you protect the other kid? Why didn't you? And God said, well, how is it going to be exposed unless it gets into a situation where it's exposed? And I'm like, okay, I can understand that. I can see that. And of course, if they respond correctly, God will, you know, help them deal with it. But in the midst of that, a lot of people got injured. A lot of people hurt. A lot of people, a lot of stuff. And so God was just kind of reminding me that when I give you these opportunities, instead of judging someone that I would never do that, I'm not capable of doing that. Oh, there's no way I'd do that. To say, no, Lord, I am capable of doing that. Help me to confess it, Lord, and repent of it right now so you don't have to deal with it later down the road. Buying that gold. Buying the gold the easy way, I guess is how I should put it. Buying gold the easy way. Every time we repent, we're buying the gold. But this idea of buying gold the easy way, buying gold for something that, quote, I didn't do, but is in my heart, God is giving out of his love and mercy and saying, hey, here's a way to get the gold, to deal with your Adamic nature, and not have to go through that stuff. Not have to go through all the things that, as you're well aware of, that people have to go through, we go through when we're bumping against, you know, people, you know, we want to get people involved and so forth. So God was saying, buy gold. Buy it the easy way. Buy gold, period. Even when it's not easy. In other words, when we're in our stuff and God shows us we're in our stuff and we confess and we repent and God shows us by his wisdom how to deal with the consequences. But it's, yes, Bill.
That scripture, this is buy from your gold, try it in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that we can buy gold from God.
Yeah.
But maybe we can buy gold that hasn't already been tried. Maybe that's this distinction you're talking about. If you buy it already refined, then you don't have to go through it. You benefit by watching it in someone else. If you want to buy gold.
Sorry.
And then have it refined in you, that's a choice too.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's a very good way, concise way of putting it. yeah, you're benefiting from someone else. You're benefiting from someone else. And yeah, that is a good way to put it. And God has given you an opportunity to benefit because we don't normally benefit. And I'll just tell you right now, even though God has shown me this and I'm like, yes, let's do it. I can tell you right now, I still struggle to do it. I still struggle to do it. I mean, just yesterday, as I was reading my right-wing newspaper, and saw something in there about, you know, what the administration is doing or what some, you know, and I'm thinking, why are they doing that? It wasn't until a little later that God said, wait a minute, you're missing an opportunity here. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I am missing an opportunity. And so, I confess to the Lord, hey, Lord, I've got that conniving in me. I've got that scheming in me. You know, I confess it to you. Take it out of me, Lord. I repent. I repent to that. And then show me some other things, too, like cancel the subscription. So I am going to cancel the subscription. But but yes, Bill, that's a very good point. It's we benefit. That's the easy way to buy the gold, if you will. Yeah, definitely. And we should take advantage of it. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't do this, obviously. I can't do it on my own. I mean, as easy as it seems, as easy as it looks, I can't do it. I got my example right here. I'm still, flopping around, in my judgmentalism. So, I don't say like, once God gives this to you and hopefully he's put it in your inner man, that it's something that's going to just, from now on, I'll just do it easily. And it's still going to be a fight. It's still going to, because you got to fight the Adamic nature. But I've asked the Lord to help me. I've asked the Lord by his Spirit to remind me, and he does. And it's a good thing, too, because if I could get this from the Lord and then do it, just boom, boom, boom every time, what's going to happen? If I could do it every time, what's going to happen? No. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not making myself clear. If I could do it every time, no problem. It won't get done? Well, it could get done, but what's going to happen in my heart, though? Who did it?
You did.
I did it. I did it.
You don't need the Lord.
I did it, right. I don't need the Lord. Pride. So by the fact that the Lord is showing me I can't do it, just like I said, this last night, I mean, I'm just still, grousing around with stuff. It's showing me I have to rely on him. I have to rely on him. Tony.
If we do it, it won't get done right. Only if the Lord helps us to do it, then it'll get done right.
True.
Whatever it is,
the Lord needs to be in it. But even if I'm going to the Lord every time, I see it and I go to the Lord every time in a sense of, okay, I'm doing it. In other words, I'm the one that's kind of initiating this thing. Okay, hey, I need to do this. It still brings that pride up, even though I can still confess it and repent of it. You see what I'm saying? It's just like a sin that's you've been struggling with, but you haven't done it in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or something like that. And you think about it and you say, oh, I haven't done that in 2-3 weeks. Who gets the glory? Yeah, me do. We do. Yeah, Ron.
Another way that pride gets exposed is anytime I say I would never.
Yes.
That's the same thing as saying I can do it without you. I don't need you.
Yes.
Because I would never. And then I'm taking myself out of the market.
Yes.
Not buying the gold because I'm saying I don't need it.
Exactly. Yep. But
then I'm poor, wretched, blind.
Absolutely.
And stay where I am.
Yeah, we eventually stay where we are. That's so right, Ron. Exactly. We have to depend on the Lord. And as Stan talked about this morning, about Jacob having to limp for the rest of his life, and that limp reminded him who he depended on, who he had to rely on, who his strength was, who his protection was. And it's the same. Yes, God makes it easy for us. He's making us easy to buy this gold and to get it. I mean, where we don't have to go through the hard knocks of things. And yes, we will go through hard knocks. He's going to bring us. He's got to. But there's going to be many, 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 many opportunities to be buying that gold without having to go through the hard knocks as God gives us opportunity. And we benefit. We definitely benefit, obviously, because more of our Adamic nature gets crucified and more of Christ gets formed in us. And the person that we were going to judge, they benefit too. And the body benefits. The body of Christ benefits. We think that because it's all just us, it's just happening around me, it's just in my mind, if you will, or whatever, that it doesn't affect the body. No, it does. It does. I mean, if your spleen starts acting up, doesn't it affect, where there's pain, doesn't it affect the whole body? Well, it's the same here. As long as we're still not allowing the Holy Spirit, not allowing God to deal with our Adamic nature, and we give in to the works of Satan and give in to our flesh, we're hurting the body as a whole. We don't see it necessarily unless it spills out onto somebody, you know, out of anger or whatever. So when we buy this goal, when we take this opportunity, even though we didn't do something specifically, but God is showing us that, hey, that can be in your heart, that is in your heart, here's an opportunity to repent of it, buy gold, it affects the body for good, right? Won't it? Yeah. Yeah, it will. So, buy gold from God. It's the only economy that will never, ever, ever be in crisis unless you allow it in your own life. And don't buy gold from God. Buy gold from God. Take the opportunities that He gives you. And I just pray right now that the Lord would have His Holy Spirit remind you that when you look at somebody or look at some situation and say, ah, I wouldn't do that. I'd never do that. Or, I don't know why they are doing that or what's causing them to do that or whatever. Anytime we do that, Lord, remind us. Here's an opportunity to buy gold from you. Here's an opportunity to have more of the Adamic nature crucified and more of you formed in us. Here's an opportunity to buy the gold the easy way, the less painful way. But even when we buy the gold this way, Lord, there's still a death. There's still a sacrifice. There's still a humbling because we're saying to, hey, Lord, this is in me. So in a sense, there is a bit of fire that's there. There is the humiliation, if you will, the humbling that says, yes, this is in me. And just because, Lord, you haven't put together the right circumstances, it hasn't been exposed yet. Lord, I know you're faithful. I know you love us and you have mercy upon us, Lord, and you look at us not as children to be pitied, but you look at it as your beloved, as your loved ones, as someone you delight in, Lord. Your word says you delight in it. You sing over us. So help us to see that as well, Lord, and to look at this as a grand opportunity to draw closer to you, to become more like you, and to get more of the works of Satan out of us. But most importantly, so that we can draw close to you and be with you and be in you, abiding in you, so that we can, moment by moment, Lord, as we're walking in repentance, as you show us, as we're walking in repentance, more and more of your glory, Lord. More and more of your transformation in us, making us more in your image. Oh, Lord, we need you. Yes, you counsel us to buy gold, but we need you, Lord. And help us to see that as we buy this gold, we're getting more of you. We're getting closer to you. We're drawing nearer to you. We're abiding in you more perfectly. We're abiding in you more instead of abiding in you a few minutes here and a few minutes there. But we're abiding in you more and more. Looking for the time, Lord, when we're abiding in you all the time. And nothing distracts us from abiding in you. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you for showing us more of yourself. Thank you for showing us more of who you are and who you are in us and who we are in you. And how the most important thing is having you. In the midst of our jobs, in the midst of our home life, in the midst of all the interactions with our families, people, friends, church, that you are our beloved, you are the one that we lean on, limping, knowing that just like you cannot live except by the Father, and that we cannot live except by you. We're not there yet, Lord, but help us. And when we stumble, when we fall, when we fall short of it, Lord, help us not to condemn ourselves. Help us not to have a pity party, but to go right to you, Lord, and say, okay, Lord, here I am. Help me to keep abiding in you. Help me to keep looking to you. Only you can do it, Lord. Only you can make that change in me. So I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to sit there and think, oh, what's wrong with me? I'm going to look to you and say, okay, Lord, can't do this without you. I'm trusting you. I'm rejoicing in you. I'm loving you. I'm living in you. I'm looking to you. Thank you. And as Paul says, rejoice. Rejoice always in the Lord. Make us rich in you, Lord. Make us rich in you. In Jesus' name, amen.